Welcome to Podheim, to Rock's Valheim podcast. Let's give him the business.
Hey, everybody. Today is July 26, 2022. I'm your host, Jarok the Viking, and joining me today are my fellow Vikings, Shield Maiden, Morning Darkness.
Hello, everybody.
Jarl Tolkas.
Hey, what's up?
Bambi the Shield Maiden.
Hello there.
Viking Vaste.
Kanyahanseyo.
And joining us again, because I lost his interview last week, Viking Apollyon.
How's it going?
It's going good. Well, hopefully good. So let me explain what happened last week. So during the recording, about halfway through, we ended up doing 2 hours total, but about halfway through, I ran out of disk space on my hard drive. So I just swapped the save location to another drive and then continued the podcast. So I had two files. I had one on one hard drive, one on the other. Well, the first half was on the hard drive that had filled up. So what I ended up doing was I converted, or I cleaned up some space there, and I took the file and I did something new with it because I record using OBS so that I can record you guys and myself. There are probably other options out there, but that's what I was using. And I decided to use VLC to convert the MP4 file that it creates and split it into MP3 files. So one for my audio and one for everybody else's audio. And once those two files were done, I continued cleaning up that drive to make space on it for the future. And I also deleted the file because, of course, I converted everybody's audio to MP3, right? But that MP4 was, I moved to the recycling bin with everything else. And then I emptied the recycling bin. So everything was completely clean and I had tons of space on my hard drive. Well, when I went to edit the podcast, I pulled those two MP3s that I had created from the MP4, and VLC is broken because it had choppy audio. So every second you could hear audio, and then the next second it cut out, and then you could hear audio, and then it cut out. For the full hour, I would talk, it would cut out, and then it would come back in. And it did that for everybody's audio file, MP3, and my file, making the audio completely useless. So I thought I had made MP3s that I could use for the podcast before I deleted the file. But of course, I did failed to listen to them before I deleted the file. I did use a file file recovery thing, and it tried to piece it together, and it just didn't work. So we lost the first hour, and unfortunately,
so I'm back.
Apollyon's interview, but he has assured us that he has reconsidered all his answers and will give us even better answers this time, won't you, Apollyon?
All different answers. Right, so. I'm not even going to see them coming.
You're just going to make stuff up, aren't you?
Yeah.
Well, so let me explain. Apollyon is one of the builders for our Season 2 server, which just launched here in July of 2022, earlier this month. And we had a lot of great builders on Season 2. Vaste and Morning Darkness were also builders on Season 2. And several other people, myself included. But
But Apollyon was the rock star, let's be real.
That's the first time I've ever been accused of that.
Well, so two things that Apollyon did that I've seen in other games and just didn't even think to do in Valheim, but now I can't think of doing anything else. And that is, he aged his structures using, you know, of course, vines and roots and other things, but he twisted blocks and pieces to make them look like they were falling and things like that by using the Gizmo mod, which gives you more points of rotation. You can rotate on all the axes, which was awesome. But he did adventure builds. And I don't know why I didn't think of it, because I played 7 Days to Die for years and years, and every POI there is an adventure build, meaning there's one way into the location, and it's not always what you would think is like the front door. And there's a path through the location to get to the end, to the final, you know, encounter at the end. So, Apollyon, where did you get the idea to do that from? Can you tell us some of the games that you played before that maybe influenced you?
I guess at the time I was making stuff, I didn't really realize why I was doing or that I was doing that. But I up until, you know, your servers and Valheim with some friends, I played mostly single player games. And as a single player experience, it's usually some sort of, you know, either scripted sort of sequence or a path that you're following. I mean, I guess, I don't know, call it selfish. I wanted if I'm going to spend the time to make these things, I wanted everybody to look at all the stuff I put in it. So the only way to do that is kind of dictate the direction that somebody should go through it. But yeah, I mean, the first games I remember playing when I was younger was the original Prince of Persia, like on DOS. Like, I fell in love with how difficult that game was. Like, you had to be perfect. Tomb Raider, all the Tomb Raider games, my very first 486, that was fun. Doom, like most people, Doom, and then I kind of dug the 3D, the build engine games like Duke Nukem and what were some of the other ones? Blood, man, that may be the perfect first person shooter, just from a level design standpoint. The most recent one was Days Gone. I sunk a lot of time into that. I know it kind of had a bit of a rocky development with Sony's like studio making it. I don't know all the backstory on that, but I found it really enjoyable, especially when you got to the hordes. I've never seen anything in a video game like the hordes that existed in Days Gone. It is overwhelming. Mm. It's a lot of fun. So yeah, I mean, I guess a lot of single player games, like it's something built to usher you through a story and kind of like that.
That's one of the things I loved about, well, you know, single player games are fun for a while until, you know, you get kind of lonely playing by yourself. But when I played 7 Days to Die, I didn't really think about it at the time to the detail because I wasn't, you know, building games or POIs or running a server. But now that I am, and I saw that you applied the same thing 7 Days to Die did, like they'll have a building, it'll be like a grocery store, and the front door is not the entrance. It may be a broken window on the side or a truck delivery platform, you know, basement window somewhere around the back, or you got to climb up a ladder and go in through a hole in the roof and then, you know, kind of path your way through it. And sometimes there's some freedom to go in some different places, but you always kind of end up at the same spot where the big bad loot is. And you applied that to Valheim and think that was such a great idea that now I'm, for our season 3 servers, I'm going to be promoting that same concept for all the builders. You know, of course there are, you know, there's room for other things too, but I think that is one of the more exciting things for players to go through, because it does, like you said, it forces them to look at the build because they have to go through it. You know, they don't miss anything. You know, it's not just some big building that they might miss, you know, something in a corner. They have to go through every, you know, particular passageway or fallen roof or, you know, climb on the outside of a hole in the wall because of the way that the bricks are manipulated. As a matter of fact, so some of you are, or most of you are playing on season 2. What do you guys think of, that pathing through the POIs? Has anybody here done a POI that has the pathing like that through it?
I just did one, actually. Something that's like the acrophobia achievement where you have to climb up really high.
Oh yeah. What was the theme of the building? Do you remember?
Oh, it looked like a house with a giant laser gun attached to it of some sort.
Oh, right. Just right.
to obliterate us facing, you know, like connected to each other, and it looked just like a bit satellite station or something is gonna, they're gonna shoot a laser that's destroying stars or some sort.
That was one of our other builders. He went on that build was more on the concept of a parkour thing. It was like this tall platform with 4 legs and you kind of have to parkour up the legs, and at the very top was a very unusual structure, and he did several of those. And so I built a story around it, just called it the Mad Viking, always trying to get up high to speak to the gods and leaving some fun clues and stuff behind inside those locations. But has anybody done like the water wheel house or the,
I did.
You did.
I did. And saw some people doing it. which that one POI in particular has an interesting way of entering, and it was faster than I thought. It didn't took more than 10 minutes for them to figure out the entry.
Yeah, I mean, that's good. It's a small POI.
Some people said that some of these parkour things that I made took hours, and I felt terrible.
Well, no. The entryway to this one is particularly hidden, and is you need to think out of the box to find it. It took them some tries, some shark bites also.
Shark bites.
Yeah, because they fall into the water there. But yeah, so that was like a bridge out to a house with a water wheel in the back that was sort of destroyed and fallen over and leaning against the building. And the front door of the place, when you get across the bridge, the front door was jammed shut. So you could kind of see inside a little bit through a crack, but you couldn't open the door and go in. So you had to look around.
They didn't even try.
Yeah.
Sorry. They didn't even try the door. There was a friendly poking out there, so they didn't even try to open it.
Yeah, there's a monster behind the door. Don't go that way. Yeah, so you have to look around the building, and I won't spoil it for anybody, but yeah, it was really well hidden, the entrance. And then, you know, once you're inside, that you want to get up to the top by following a very specific path, you know, through fallen walkways and bricks that had fallen. You got to jump up them to get up higher and higher. And yeah, so what would you say, Apollyon? That was probably towards the middle of your building experience.
Yeah, that was, I think maybe I had done like, six or seven, but I, during the Q&A that one came up as well. And it was the build that I did that something just kind of clicked.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, that not only looks good, but that's fun to play. I should try to do more of that.
Yeah. That was, I mean, you had a great cathedral build. That had a little parkour on the outside that ended up getting you onto the inside. And that's when I started to realize, like, I think that was like one of your first builds.
I think that was the very, very first one. Yeah.
Yeah. And I thought, oh, he's really doing this like adventure path to get in pretty well. And then, I think the water wheel house was the one where I like slapped my forehead and just went, this is genius. We need more like this. And you did that in the future ones, especially you did a lot of dungeons also, but I think one of the locations that just sort of hit the pinnacle of what an adventure POI can be is probably the windmill house.
Oh, the flabellum, yeah.
Yeah, you call it the flabellum.
Yeah, a flabellum is like an ornamental religious fan, which doesn't necessarily apply to that build. I just like saying flabellum. And so I was like, that's a fun name. Let's just call it that.
Yeah. No, you came up with some great names for your builds too, which made it fun. But yeah, that one was, and it's in the trailer for season two, the teaser trailer that I made. And where I demonstrate the achievement system, if you can get to the very top and overcome acrophobia because it's so high up. But that was great because it's not just parkour for parkour's sake, which a couple of your builds are just parkour for parkour's sake. Some of your earlier ones.
Yeah, Vaste likes them.
Yeah, Vaste's favorite.
I was thinking it'd be for them. And I actually disapprove most of them, but they didn't listen to me.
Well, so Vaste, just so you know, that one on the survival server that's on the starting island, last night I made the jumps all much easier. So anybody else who wants to try to do it, it'll be about 10 times easier to get past all the parkour because it's very, very difficult, especially with the wraiths flying around. But yeah, the flabellum or the windmill house was great because it's this giant building, a giant windmill on top of it, and the front doors are locked or jammed shut, so you can't get in. But you can see the side of the building is crumbled, so you can kind of jump up there to get on the roof and get inside. And then there's all these giant cogwheels and whatnot that are like fallen over that used to operate the old windmill house. And of course, you start jumping up the cogwheels and jump from the cogwheel to the balcony and like things that feel more natural parkour because it's part of the build. And you know, by the time you get to the top, like I love going through that, but there are many other builds that I just love walking through too. And so, yeah, we're going to have a lot of lessons learned from that. I wanted to ask you, though, well, before we get into that, I think MD has some questions for you.
Yes, I do. So how did you discover Valheim?
I've never really been into like survival crafting games. I've tried a few of them and they're pretty rough. Like the last one that I actually tried to devote any time to was Rust, and man, that's a cutthroat community, man.
Yeah.
I've really been rough. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But Steam, for whatever reason, the recommendation algorithm really, really, really thought that I was going to like this game. So there were the early access ads on, you know, February such and such. The early access game is released. And about a week after it came out, I was like, all right, fine. It's $20. So I'll just do it. And boom, like it feels great to play this game.
It does. Oh man, you've been playing as long as I have.
I've been pretty much playing this game exclusively since it came out, and talked some friends into it. Got me a G Portal dedicated server. Definitely get a G Portal server. They're awesome. They're very reliable and they're super cheap. So me and some friends have been playing on that for quite a while. Quite a while, yeah. That's how I got into Valheim, because Steam beat me over the head with it.
Nice. Yeah, I got my GPortal server with Jirox coupon code. So what convinced you to play on Jirox servers?
Like most people, the friends that I was playing with got bored, and it was a big open world, big empty world. It happens, you know. But me and a buddy that played on my server realize that a few weeks have gone by and we're the only ones here. I've been watching this guy Jirox's videos, man. He's got servers. You want to go check it out? And he was like, sure, why not?
Nice.
Been here ever since.
Which what video finally pushed you over the edge to come join us?
I don't know which specific video, but it was definitely some of the like the building mechanics videos. I don't know which one specifically, but I remember watching it going, man, I wouldn't even have thought of that. and then there's, you know, always the information about, hey, you got some playground servers, you should check it out. Come play on our servers. So I was like, well, check it out, see what's up. Liddy did my interview, super nice, and I guess the rest is history. This is where I live now.
Nice. What's been your favorite thing about being here on Jirox servers?
Staying
with us.
Yeah, I was going to say. Tolkis is right. All of you guys. The community's awesome. The community's great. It's a very welcoming, friendly community. It's don't have all that crazy toxicity that comes that Voste is always looking for.
the free pun. Thank you. It seems from the parkour you are making, it seems you love the community.
No, it's fun. It's a big, those big open Valheim world that feels like it should be populated is. There's at any given time, I mean, not season two right now. Playground server's kind of void of folks because everybody's playing on the season two server, but when the high point hits and it's really, really busy on the playground server, it's amazing. There's dozens and dozens and dozens of people. And everybody's really cool. Like you always, if you need anything, there's no less than a dozen people playing at the time that'll stop what they're doing and come give you a hand. It's great. It's a really fun community to play with.
Mm-hmm. Never get to sleep though.
Never get to sleep.
Oh well, yeah, having too much fun, you end up playing more than you should and miss out on sleep.
You know, if you're on the server when I am, I get to sleep every once in a while.
You do? Well, I have a bedroom. Rare. I never use it.
I use it for the wrong reasons.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I remember back in the day when we used to shout to everyone all over the server, go to bed! And we're trying to organize
25 people to all go to sleep at the same time.
Yeah, well, it sometimes it worked, but you know, at some point there was always some guy in the middle of the ocean or adventuring or I don't know what. So in the end it was just, you know what, screw this. Abandon sleep.
Yeah.
Sleep is for the weak.
Just have to deal with the night, right?
Yeah.
Well, so Apollyon, we talked a little bit about season two and the builds that you did, and we're getting ready here. We're gearing up for season three because, you know, even though people are still playing, still not even halfway through the content, we want to start because it takes a few months to get the season put together because it's hundreds of hours and lots of people. So we're going to start working on season three here pretty soon and take some lessons learned. So I wanted to ask you from your first early builds, so from like the cathedral or those kind of really difficult parkour ones that Vaste loves or hates or loves to hate, to your later ones where you started building more adventure POIs and dungeons. Starting with the POIs, can you just tell us like what are some of the things you from like your very first couple of builds to your later builds for the, you know, out in the real world POIs, not the dungeons?
I honestly, like when the open call, hey, does anybody want to build stuff for season two? I was like, sure, I'll give it a shot. I've got 1500 hours into vanilla Valheim. Let's play some modded Valheim. See what that's like. At the time that you started that, I didn't even know what an infinity hammer was 3 months ago. So I think it was things that I learned from like just the building of a POI, like something for somebody to discover and explore. Have a good idea, like have a good theme, I guess, like not even so much theme to the build, but have a good concrete idea of what it is that I want it to be. Cause, those first few were just, I mean, they're not bad by any means, but looking back, I would have never built those. There was no rhyme or reason to them. I was just slapping things together to see what I could come up with.
Yeah. Like you're learning the tools, right? You're learning the tools, what they can do and what weird structures you can make with them.
Yeah. 100%. Like,
just a kid trying to play with Legos for the first time.
Yes, exactly. Good analogy. Legos.
And just sticking things together and see what it turns into. Mm-hmm. Towards the end of the stuff I was making, I was very happy with the aesthetic of the way it looked. And knowing that there is a start and a finish to it, and like you said, that path, the a way through it, and to make it fun. I mean, Vaste, admittedly, in hindsight, my bad, man. I didn't mean to make those things so hard. Like I didn't. Those were some of my first builds. The parkour that you may have played in some of the ones that I made later on, like Jirok said, it feels organic. It's part of the build, and yeah, you're hopping around and you're jumping over this thing and you got to get over that and around this, but it feels like you should be doing that as opposed to being forced to do it. So if I learned anything, that was it.
Oh yeah, the windmill is absolutely fantastic to play it.
Yeah.
I don't know if I say, but it's the one that feels like so great to play, to go through it, compared to the other one that is just parkour to get up.
Yeah.
The feeling is completely different.
I was just trying to kill Petras, that's all.
No. You need to try harder.
Well, yeah, those earlier ones that Vaste is talking about that he had a hard time with, they feel like something from American Gladiator, where it's just like, okay, we're going to arbitrarily put this thing here for you to have to jump to, and then the next arbitrary thing, and the next arbitrary thing, and then you fall off and you get upset and you
decide. Nitro with a Nerf cannon.
Yeah.
Lightning with a battle.
But then
you watch a lot of American Gladiators.
Yeah. Well, that's the wraiths flying around, right? They're shooting the cannons at you. But the later builds feel like a real world structure, whether it be like a castle or the windmill house or the water wheel house or some of the others, or the lighthouse. It feels more like a movie, like you're watching yourself as the character in the movie go through this ruined building, and there's a story to the building. Each block that fell, you know, maybe hit another block and moved it too. And so when you're moving through, it feels like that's, like you said, you're supposed to go that way rather than, oh, there's just an arbitrary thing sticking out over there for American Gladiator, and I have to jump over there and fall and get disqualified.
More Indiana Jones, less Squid Game.
Yes, Indiana Jones and Squid Game. That's a perfect analogy.
Why does it always have to be snakes?
Better than spiders.
Oh, I don't know about that one.
So, talking about POIs, we also went into a system of doing dungeons. And early on, I didn't have a refined system until later when I started doing the modular system. So I think your first dungeon might have been the machine. Does that sound right?
Yes, the machine or the Mouth of Madness. Those two were quote-unquote dungeons that were going to be, the application of them was before like the skybox thing. And it's just a really instance heavy build is what it is.
But they're fantastic, by the way. Like the adventure going through them and the look and the storytelling of like the crumbling and aging of the buildings and what the players encounter through them is just absolutely fabulous.
Thanks.
But I think once we sort of figured out that the instance gets too high with those, because you just build them as big as you want, and once it's built, it can only be in that configuration because there's no modularity to it. You switched it up and started using my modular system. Can you tell me what you liked about the modular system?
Oh, it's so awesome, and it's so much easier. You get to build the little individual rooms. So as you're going along, it's not a huge POI that you have to be paying attention so much to the whole path in one big picture. It's, you get to do little individual rooms and then decorate them like you want and put little things here, and then once you kind of see how you're going to piece it together, it's super easy to do once you get the hang of it. I think they just look better. I think they play better. Obviously the instances are better because you're just going to use as many rooms as you see fit for the purposes of making a dungeon. But being able to focus specifically on one room, I think the attention to detail is way better. In hindsight, like the machine, if I had done that as a piece together, like modular dungeon, I think it would have most likely worked better, but still had the same sort of feeling to it, I guess. Whereas poor you had to take that giant thing and try to put it somewhere, because it was just one big build. The modular dungeons, you can get real creative with them. Like those are fun to make. I'm looking forward to season 3 to do more of those.
Well, yeah. And because we have so many modular dungeon pieces now, we can, you know, clean them out of their decorations. So you just have the big room, and then you can redesign the inside of the room. It's actually one of the things I'm going to do for my Game Master patrons and elite and above, is I want to give them access to all of our modular dungeons that we have currently, a little bit at a time. But I also want to clean out some rooms so they just have these big, empty, blank rooms, and then they can just connect them however they want. You know, be hallways, small rooms, big rooms, boss rooms, and stairwells. And you can just piece them together however you want to make a fun little dungeon. You put like 7 or 8 pieces together, decorate them in whatever theme you want, and there you go. You can swap them around and make it a little bit different every time.
Yeah, anybody that takes the time to learn how to do that, like based off of, I mean, I didn't know. I watched your videos. once you kind of get the hang of it, it's super easy to put together, and I just, if being creative is your jam, man, those skybox modular dungeons are a blast to make, because next thing you know, you're like, whoa, I made 15 rooms. Now I get to stick all these together and make one big thing. Like, it's pretty cool.
Well, yeah, you had so many rooms for some of your themed dungeons that I wanted to include them all, but I can't because it just makes the dungeon way too big. So I had to pick, okay, I'll just use these 8 for this one and these 8 for the other one. but that's how players get a slightly different experience, even though they're going through the same theme dungeon, but it's slightly different with where the way the rooms are connected. So it feels a little bit kind of like the way the Frost Caves are now, right? Like, yeah, it's all the same rooms and hallways and everything, but you know, the algorithm puts them together different. So every Frost Cave is different, and we can do that with our dungeons manually. Okay, so we're going to go and talk about some of the videos that we posted this week. I did put up the treehouse build competition I streamed that live last week. That was a lot of fun. And I think I might even download that and then re-upload it, because for some reason the algorithm just does not promote live videos very well. Every time I upload a live stream, it does way better for some reason.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I'm going to try that and see how many more hits it gets or less hits. And then I'll actually have, you know, done the test to know if it's worth it to upload it after the fact. But then and just for an example, I did the 3-hour playthrough on our season 2 No Map with Gwen and some others. And I believe she live streamed it. I did not. I chose not to live stream it. And instead, I just recorded it. And without any editing, no intro, no closing, nothing, I just uploaded it with a halfway decent thumbnail, and it got a ton of hits, way more than I was expecting. And I don't think if I had live streamed it, it would have got anywhere near that many hits.
Yeah. Okay. That's good to know.
Yeah. Yeah. In 2 days, 1,800 hits on a 3-hour video. I never thought a 3-hour video would get that many hits for my channel. And I just want to take a quick break from the show to share with you one of my sponsors, The Grimfrost, an amazing company that sells really, really cool Viking products. They have over 1,000 different modern and historical Viking products. If you're interested, you should check them out. I have a link in the description, or you can go to my website, grocktheviking.com/Grimfrost. Now back to the show. Well, what about you, Vaste? Did you do any streaming or videos?
I'm setting up everything so I can start streaming and recording the POIs that we are going to face, the next ones that we are starting to explore the map now. We have all the inner ring clear.
Yeah.
So soon enough, we will start to go into the hardest zones. And I will be streaming them and recording them. I'll be posting on Discord whenever we do that.
Oh, yeah, great. Yeah, let Vaste and anybody who does streaming or content creation in our general chat on Discord, if you go to the pinned posts, there's a link to everybody's streaming platform, whether it be Twitch or YouTube. So, if you're interested, check that out. And Vaste will be streaming soon, hopefully. That'll be fun.
I hope they are fun and not too many body recoveries.
Yeah. Body recoveries are always fun.
They can.
I do them all the time.
Valheim news this week. Of course, Gwen, the Shield Maiden, is not here this week. She is traveling, and there is no news to report anyways. So we'll just move on and keep talking about Valheim in our own way. I'm sure that hopefully they're coming back from vacation here soon, and we'll get back to work on Mistlands and everything else. And in the meantime, we got plenty going on. So I don't know about you guys, but at least as a game master admin, I feel like I have plenty to do, and hopefully I've given y'all plenty to do with the season 2 server. It sounds like from the progress of watching the achievements come in and people posting pictures, I don't even think anybody's halfway through it yet. And it's been running for a few weeks. So there's still plenty of weeks of content there to hopefully get us through until Mislins comes out. So at this point, Morning Darkness was having some microphone issues, and I had to cut most of her audio because it did sound really poor. And she was talking about running an event on our resource server, which resets every 2 weeks with a new map and a new seed. And she ran an event over there, and the players had a lot of fun, but the event went for about 5 hours. And a few points, I guess a bunch of people died. And here's some follow-up to that. Well, I think all the admins in learning how to use the different admin commands and run events and stuff have at some point killed what we call a party wipe. So the whole party of players, everybody has, you know, died from the event that the admin runs because either the admin makes a mistake or they spawn too difficult an enemies. Or if you guys remember Thorin, we were all celebrating in the Great Hall and he tried a command that he thought was just going to be a visual effect, but it ended up killing everybody in the room except him and I because we are admins and we were immune to it.
No!
Or Thorin deleting the
season out.
Thorin deleting the frost cave we were in.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did the Yaglos blue fire, I think it was.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, as we're learning the tools and how to run an event and spawn things in, yeah, it gets refined. So it's great because, yeah, Morning Darkness was one of the builders on season two. So she got to learn a bunch of the mods and admin tools and creative tools. And starting to apply them to events is awesome to see because I'm sure you're learning so much. And that's great. That's great for the community, great for the players because, you know, they have another admin who can get out there and give them the business.
Yeah, definitely. Like it's they're just happy accidents. You know, the cave is deleted. Everybody just standing in the void looking up going, whoa, I've never seen this before.
We had a blast. So nothing to say there. That was a great night.
It was fun.
Yeah. Yeah, like the second stage in a boss fight. Well, so we're going to go and talk about some of the things that we would love to see changed or added to the game. You know, the game's still got a lot of development to go, many biomes to add, many new features to add. And, you know, just the more we play, the more we realize the things that we would love to see in the game, especially if we ever try new mods out, because mods have some features that seem ridiculous for Valheim, but can still be fun. Like they really shouldn't be part of this world. But then there are a few mods out there that even feel like they should be part of the game. And so it can give us ideas for things that we might like to see changed or added. So that said, Baste, what would you like to see changed or added?
My favorite Tamed animal is the wolf. I think they are the best mob in the game for a lot of reasons, especially base defense. And in my solo war, I had my base full of 2-star wolves that I tame, and it took some time.
Yeah.
But I do miss when they howl. It's now like they're just there. They just move around and annoy you. They not even do a sound. I really like the howl of the wolf, yeah. I miss that.
But they still howl, just not as much anymore.
Well, it's only the babies howl now.
Only the babies.
And they grow up to be adults and then they stop howling.
Yeah. Well, you just have to kill them more often. Just make sure there's a lot of babies around.
I have a permanent baby on my base, but I would like to have all the grown-ups howl also.
So you like all that noise?
No.
Yes.
I'm not saying you're in the minority here with this.
But you're in the minority.
It's pretty obvious. Maybe you might be in the minority in this.
You already roast me with the toxic thing earlier, so might as well roast myself fully.
I'll tell you what, Vaste, I will give you my vote for returning the all wolves howling sound. Under one condition, that in the sound settings, they give us a separate slider for wolf howling so I can turn it off.
Yeah.
Or turn it down.
Cool. Yeah.
Well, why is it just the wolves howling for that matter? Why are the pigs not, you know, grunting? Like all day long with the big little boars.
Yeah. Oh. They should also.
And yeah. The
why
did you hear them?
The
Yeah, exactly.
Did you hear the boars, if they are actually giving birth? Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
that's an awful scream.
Well, when it's the same noise they make when they die.
Yeah, it is.
Noticeable like the boars one.
I think we can all agree Iron Gate spent a lot of time on really good sound effects.
That's
the
true.
Wolves, I'm glad they scale back though. They were so loud.
Hold on, G-Rock, hold on. I haven't talked about what's my thing I wanted to change right. Why did you cross it out already on your spreadsheet there? Hold on.
What are you talking
about? Hold the phone there.
Why don't you tell us what you'd like to see changed or added?
What I would like to see changed or added is Gorf actually showed me a something he calls a Nomad mod pack, which basically includes a backpack, a traveling camp, etc. And I would actually love to see that. That's how I play usually when I play solo. I just go to one place, build a base there, and when a situation or resources require me to go elsewhere, I just pack up my things and go over there. So I would, because right now playstyles, you find one good spot for a base, and then you center everything all around this base. When you get a resource, you go back to the base, etc. And I would just love to have a little card like Haldor the merchant, just, you know, grab my things, grab my logs, and go. Or just a ship, a big ship with a living quarters, some storage inside, and then just pack my things and go where I want to. Instead of having these big centered government settlements all over the place.
That's kind of how I used to play Fallout. Like Fallout New Vegas was a good example. Just you're packing up, you have the specific things to build your like setup when you get where you're going. Mm-hmm. And then daylight, pack it all up, keep going. Like that'd be interesting. I dig it.
Yeah, I would love that. Maybe that would be nice. Yeah, maybe, you know, season three, maybe have a little nomad.
Yeah,
nomad. No set base. It's just a bunch of guys running around with trailers.
Disable people's ability to build structures. Oof.
Yeah, no more defensive and cowering and hiding behind walls. You just have to protect your cart.
No, but especially if you have like no portals like we have now on survival, that would be awesome to have just a base camp you can take with you if you're exploring greater lands or looking for a second base to, well, explore a whole new island. That would be awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Gorth has shared with me some of the mods he thought might be good for a season three, because I like to have the experience be just a slightly bit different each time, you know, so there's something new, some new elements. And of course,
mission accomplished with season two, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so definitely.
So you're just saving this idea for next round, maybe.
Yes. Yeah. It was an idea we started discussing here recently, possible mods for season three, and that nomad camping, like little tents and stuff is one that he shared with me. And that one does sound like a great mod, because I don't want to add mods that change Valheim experience too much. Maybe, I mean, maybe eventually we'll do like a magic mod and things, but people really love the foundation of Valheim, and I kind of still want it to feel like that. And I think a nomad camp can add to the experience of the people who like to travel and get out there and experience the POIs and not have to build a big base that they feel anchored to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it certainly invites a new play style when it comes to, you know, exploring and getting out of your element. Like, who doesn't want to build a big spiky wall to protect themselves? Well, sometimes more fun. I love doing that, by the way. It's fun to play a little different. I think that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Also, to be honest, I love building. I love building bases and big bases as well. But sometimes you just get tired of building. Yeah, even I get tired of building sometimes. And you want to go and have an adventure. And yeah, that sounds great for going out and having a hobbit adventure.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, Vikings were settlers as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Night times. Yeah. Go ahead.
I was just going to ask you, Apollyon, what is something you might like to see changed or added to the game?
I was trying to add to the list here, and apparently I have a connection problem. I would like to remove Vaste's request, if that's possible. If it's possible to use my vote to negate somebody else's vote, I would like Vaste's vote to be removed. When you go back and play like WoW, because it's such a big map. Sorry, Bambi, I'm kind of stealing your thunder here. Yeah, I know. I'm so sorry. The ability to travel a little faster, not in the sense of a portal, but with animals and things of that nature.
Like the Lux?
This was my idea first.
I know, and I was gonna put it in there and say, don't go to me first. Bambi was right. I will just follow up with her. But I didn't have a chance because it's still trying to connect. Yeah, like I like the idea of like the mounts like you had in WoW. The locks are great. They don't move very fast. Some more variation with that seems cool. I'm so sorry, Bambi. Taming more animals and riding more animals.
You should need to tame a pink star locks and it will go faster.
I tried to tame an orca the other day, and I sat there for 3 in-game days, and all it did was just push the food away from its head, so I just gave up on that.
Yeah, here they're a little finicky about eating, and you got to really work at it to get them to eat, and so you can tame them and eventually ride the orcas on Season 2.
Oh wait. Yeah, but they get triggered about every little sea or big sea creature that is near, because I tried to tame an orca as well, and eventually it glitched out of the bin, but there was like a deep sea serpent close to it, and then it was always triggered about that, so that's why it didn't tame.
Mm.
And you don't see the deep sea serpents until it's too late.
Actually, hold my beer for a second. Have you guys seen the Hobbit, the first one, the movie,
the cartoon?
Course.
Yeah, no, the movie, the cinema movie.
Course.
The New Hobbit. Yeah, the rabbit sledge in the first one.
Oh yeah.
Oh.
And we get rabbits in the Mistlands.
Oh.
That would be so funny. Just the rabbit sledge just gunning it over the mountains.
Vikings on a rabbit sledge.
A wolf sledge then.
A wolf war chariot. Ben Hur style. Just with blades on the side going through.
The wolf flesh is more realistic, so.
Yeah, well, we are playing a fantasy game. don't start talking about realism here, buddy.
I want a sled pulled by a whole bunch of ticks.
Bunch of what?
Ew!
Those blood-sucking tick monster that they showed in one of the recent pictures.
New Mistlands, yeah.
No.
It would be better say bats over that. Or spiders.
An air balloon with bats, maybe, but...
or riding a mother mount like the WoW. Yeah. Having a mini mother to ride.
So yeah, Jirok, that's our ideas. What about, well, we kind of talk, Bambi, would you want to add anything to your idea?
Well, yeah, I love to see those groups of wild horses roaming around, and you'd be able to, yeah, tame them and ride them, of course. Would love to add that. And well, we all already talked about things we wanted to add, and Apollyon and I have the same idea. So 100%. I have an idea that we're not going to add, and that's spiders.
You want to ride a spider?
No, because you already added spiders to Season 2, and I hate you for that. I got to kill my first one the other day, by the way.
Was it satisfying?
maybe
It's kind of weird how they fall apart when they die. It's a bit uncomfortable.
I was really sweating when I saw that. I was like, oh, everybody heard me scream. So, yeah, I would like to say we do not add spiders to the real vanilla game. That's all.
Oh, so what you want to see changed or added is to not add spiders.
Yeah, I like to see wild horses and we can tame them, but don't do the spiders.
What about you, Jirok?
I was just thinking about their ocean update, and I'm sure they're going to do some amazing things, but I would love to see shields on a ship and other customizations for ships. I can't wait for that. Like, I love, like, in their early versions, or some of their early previews, they have a ship with shields on it, and it looks so cool. I would just love to decorate my own ship. You know, if you can have your own colors, you know, flying, and, you know, same with your sails, you customize your sails and have your own colors, and cause just feel more Viking. Like, a Viking game should be more about ships. And if the game is lacking in anything, it's lacking in the Viking feel of its ships and its sailing and customizing ships more. Oh, I can't wait. I'm so excited. So,
I mean, yeah, we have different colors for banners. We have style options for shields. Why can't we have those freaking things for armors and ships? Come on.
I think there are some mods to add some more different kinds of ships and some variety to ships. So those mods we might explore for season 3 also. And if they're not too glitchy, we might add them. I know some people have requested the raft mod so you could build your own ship. But you could basically build a giant house that floats on the ocean, and so it kind of ruins immersion. And I hear it's a little glitchy anyway, so we might not see that, but other ship mods we might consider.
I wish you could add trophies on your ship.
Ooh,
like some sort of trophy stand on your ship, like in the Viking series, where it just heads hanging from there as you go and attack some distant shores. That would be cool. I would just hang my ship with troll heads just going to the Black Forest so they know I'm coming for them.
So maybe like item stands where you could put your shields, you could put trophies on there too, and you can...
Oh yeah, that would be cool. The shaman trophies, of course, trolls, fueling heads, whatever.
Yeah, that would be a fun idea. Well, we're coming towards the end of the podcast, and thank you to the less than 5% who get here. You guys are absolutely awesome, and you have a lot of stamina to listen through to all of this. But what we're going to talk about this week about us, we're going to talk about fantasy and fictional worlds we would like to live in. All right, Bambi, what would be your fantasy world you would love to live in?
Definitely Pandora, the world of Avatar.
Oh, yeah, that is really beautiful world, isn't it?
And when that movie came out on, I think it was Netflix, we got a brand new TV. We had a really old TV, and then we got a brand new flat curved one, and that came out. I was like, oh, my God, I want to be there. that's for me, that's an amazing, amazing world.
Yeah, I think a lot of people had that feeling. And as far as alien worlds go, and all of the, at least the movies and TV shows that I've seen, the worlds are usually like Star Wars and Star Trek are great examples. Their worlds are just basically, it's a desert or it's a forest or something, some kind of jungle, plains, flatlands, rocky areas, just kind of all your standard biomes that we find on Earth. But Avatar was one of the first movies to really have the vision to show us a world that is unlike any biome that we've ever seen. I mean, it's kind of jungle, like a jungle, but a very different alien jungle.
It's a fairy tale jungle, I think. It's really, it's amazing.
And it has really big trees.
Of course you want the tree and live in the tree.
Oh, that explains everything.
And it has awesome pets to ride as well.
Yeah, it does. So
she, more than that, he was wants the big ship, the bean tree, not the ship, the bean tree in the movie, not only some trees.
Yeah, and I want stuff to ride on.
Talking about the big trees and riding things. Brain. Ay. Well, sorry, my brain has gone drifted race. I'm so sorry.
So Vaste, why don't you tell us what kind of a fantasy or fictional world you might like to live in?
Mine is a little different to the most that we are going to hear now, but mine is come from a manga, a Korean manga called Solo Leveling, but it's not actually a fantasy world. It's an alternative Earth when they got to have all the things we have now, internet, cell phones, everything. But some people are getting magical powers and there are dungeons appearing all around the world. And these people with the magical powers, the special powers, get to enter there, clear the dungeons and sell whatever loot they got as they work. I am an IT guy, software developer, so I'm too used to having internet and all these new things. I don't think I could change that part, but having the special part would be so cool.
So it sounds like you like your level of technology that we have, but you wouldn't want to go like to medieval fantasy stuff. But if you can add fantasy to a modern world or a futuristic world, you'd be up for that.
Yeah, of course. Star Wars would be another good choice also.
Yeah. And just to clarify, you said it was a manga and it was called Solo Leveling. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes.
Awesome. Well, that does sound really cool. And that is, so manga, is it's cartoon or is it like graphic
novel? It's like
novel?
A comic. It's, no, it has all...
Like comic
it's
books?
Like most like a comic, yes. It's the term webtoon might be the closest.
Webtoon? Is that what?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Ah, it sounds interesting.
I really into the anime manga stuff, so I using all this other term, but it will be like more like a comic book.
Yeah.
It has the novels they call is the translation will be light novels, which the short novels will be.
Yeah, actually,
you have
my
both
idea,
versions.
Yeah, actually, my idea is kind of similar to yours. Actually, you're not alone here. I can picture myself living in a manga as well. You know, Sword Art Online.
Sword Art Online.
Yes.
Yeah. It's basically a manga about people play how virtual reality games are evolving to a level where you basically are inside the game. You feel everything. It's you're living your life in the game you're playing. And the thing was, when we were thinking about this question, I was thinking about it, and whatever world I was picturing, be it Tolkien's Middle Earth, Dune, or any other author I've been reading, it's just not a good place for a human to be. I think about living in those worlds, I 95% I end up being dead. It's just not a good place for a human to be. So, and then since I've been like, when I started watching the Sword Art Online, but also what was it? Ready Player One was another great movie about living in virtual reality. It would be totally awesome in live in any video game. Just you know,
how they get into that virtual reality is
it's technology. It's actually technology, full immersion scene, and it's really close to be real, real. So it's not that far that actually.
Yeah, honestly, I would just upload myself in the game and just live there.
There is one that a really good series that touched that is Altered Carbon.
Oh yeah,
that's also really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to upload myself in Valheim.
Yeah, it would be fun as well. That would be totally fun to be in the game of Valheim, because that's, you know, of course it's challenging, but you have a chance. You can level up, you can improve your skills and increase your chance of survival. If I would live in Middle Earth and be a guardsmen in Gondor, I'll be so screwed.
Oh, yeah. If you get a chance with a VR headset to play the modded Valheim, I highly recommend it. It is an entirely different experience. It takes longer because you're there. So
yeah.
About the first moment a troll walks up behind you, it is a whole different level of scary because those things are so much bigger than you.
Yeah, actually, I'm a bit spoiled from the mangas and movies, so I'm kind of waiting until VR develops to that level of these said mangas and movies until I was going to try VR, because it looks really clumsy and...
Never try the beta of that. Yeah. Of those things, yeah.
It's just a bit...
I'll take the World of Lord of the Rings above Valheim, because... On every server, I die by a falling tree. So, yeah.
Well, I was going to ask if you had to choose a version of Valheim, would it be like vanilla Valheim? Would it be Jirok Season 1, Jirok Season 2?
Yeah, Season 2, probably. But Bambi, about your dying to a tree question, you know about the walking trees in Middle Earth, right? And they end up killing a lot of things. Just putting it out into the room.
Yeah, I'm just going to be a hobbit and stay in Hobbiton.
Oh, yeah,
Hobbit. Drinking beer, having a good time.
Could have stayed in the Shire.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the Shire gets attacked as well. you're screwed. Oh, man. The only place you can go is basically the undead lands over the sea. And even though there, you're screwed because, you know, forget about it.
On Tokas in Lord of the Rings, I'm gonna meet Strider.
Mm-hmm. He won't fall for you.
It's going a whole different way.
Oh my.
Oh, I completely lost now. Too much talk about the Lord of the Rings.
We should probably shift gears. Apollyon, what world would you like to live in if you could? What fiction or fantasy world?
I've always been a fan of the BioShock games and the universe. I got a thing for like Art Deco and that part of history. So to see that art style, like I don't know. It's not nothing crazy. I don't want to live in the BioShock universe because it's pretty rough. A lot of people with augmentations throwing lightning at you and things like that. But I've loved the very opening of the first BioShock game where your plane crashes and you just find yourself in a different time was always kind of neat. I enjoyed that. Nothing about trees killing anybody. None of that. Just always like that aesthetic and that art design that came with the BioShock series.
Yeah. I played one or two of the early BioShocks, and I was blown away by the art style in the game. Just absolutely fascinating. Whether you like the mechanics of combat or, you know, the exploration of the game, the story, the visuals are, you just can't argue that they are pretty wild.
Yeah, it was a beautifully made game. Even with all the stuff going on around you. Couldn't help but just kind of look at everything. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah, well, so for me, a fantasy or fictional world I would love to live in would be one that includes a high science and science fiction and space exploration. I'll quote, "Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise, right? To explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before." I'm a bigger Star Wars fan, but it's really fantasy and it's a hard fantasy world to live in, especially with the oppressive empire. But Star Trek was a utopia. They had moved past the idea of capitalism, and, you know, they have replicators and all these things that basically provide everybody with what they need. So really all that was left was the pursuit of art and knowledge, right? So you could really live your life the way you want to, not the way you have to support yourself or your family or your kids. And they were out there exploring the universe. And so that by far for me is the kind of fictional world I'd want to live in, one that is about exploring space and or our artistic endeavors and really just living your life the way you want to.
Mm. Just make sure you're not that one red coat on the ship that
yeah.
goes with the captain.
Yeah, leave red out of the wardrobe.
Yeah.
I'm a huge Star Trek fan, so I would join you in an instant.
The Next Generation was on your list. I highly recommend watching The Orville. Seth MacFarlane definitely made a love letter to Star Trek The Next Generation with that series. It's fun to watch.
Yeah, the earlier Star Treks, you know, the original series, The Next Generation, a few of the shows that came after that. These new shows with Picard and Discovery, they've turned the universe of Star Trek into something totally different. It's not about exploration and science and knowledge. It's more like a gritty action film, and I haven't been as big a fan. But yeah, the Seth, what's his last name? Farland, right?
Farland, yeah, the Orville.
Yeah, the Orville is definitely like, it's a little bit more of a comedy take on it, but yeah. It is really within the spirit of the original Star Trek.
Oh, and maybe one last to add.
Yeah.
Joining the Doctor.
Oh, Doctor Who?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. If I could have a TARDIS and live forever, that would be great. Jump around into different bodies.
No one chooses zombie war. That's sad.
Yeah.
I would probably die real fast.
You'd be a zombie.
Yeah, I would be a zombie for sure.
Oh, if like, I could choose one of the zombies from Dying Light, I will definitely be the zombie.
Somebody, I think it was from the server here, was telling me that if they were in a zombie game or a zombie movie, that if they had to play a character in the game or the movie, they'd want to be a zombie because it's less stressful. You just go around and eat all the non-zombies. But if you're not a zombie yet, it's so much stress trying to stay alive.
Yeah, the Dying Light games definitely promoted the idea of the humans that are left after the zombie apocalypse are really the enemy. Like it's very stressful. First game, better than the second game, but both are really good, and it definitely lets you know that humans are kind of the enemy.
And the zombies are the hardest that any other game or movie. If you have to survive in that war, it will be impossible.
Mm-hmm. Maybe like the movie World War Z, where the zombies run and just climb up other so you just can't get away from them.
I'll take a zombie over an infected any day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's been fun, everybody, but I think that is going to do it for this week. Thank you for joining me.
A pleasure. Thanks
so much.
Absolutely. It's my birthday tomorrow. Yay!
Yeah, happy early birthday, Apollyon.
Thanks.
Happy birthday.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you tomorrow because everything else is going to give you bad luck.
I'm turning 41. It's really not that exciting anyway, so it's good.
Okay, then I should announce it now in Discord.
Go for it.
Yes.
Well, that's it for now. Have fun out there. Thank you for listening to Podheim, Jirok's Valheim podcast. We have new episodes coming out every Friday, and if you enjoyed listening, please support us by subscribing to the podcast on your favorite platform and leave us a rating and a review to help more Vikings find us. We also have a Patreon with perks for supporters like behind-the-scenes discussions, exclusive content, and segments that are edited out of the main podcast. And if you'd like to join our friendly Discord community, we have more than 1,000 people there. Just go to discord.gg/JirokTheViking. If you'd like to play on my Valheim servers, just go to my website at JirokTheViking.com and submit an application. I'd like to give a huge shout out to my supporters, some of them on Patreon, the YouTube membership, and the ones who help boost our Discord server. Your support means the world to me and inspires me to make more videos, as well as run a community Discord and multiple Valheim gaming servers. If you enjoy my videos and would like to support my work, join our friendly Discord community and Valheim servers. Links can be found in the description below. Skull!